It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Good evening and welcome back to another live episode of Red Tinted Glasses here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel. And sorry for being 24 hours later than normal, coming to you live on a Tuesday evening rather than our usual Monday 7 p.m. slot. I'll be brutally honest, I really wasn't in the mood to podcast yesterday. Saturday's late defeat really still left a sickly feeling in the stomach, and trying to get myself up for podcasting on the back of yet another defeat was a tough act, more so when once again I continue to carry the podcast in the absence of Callum. For those tuning in live will notice once again Callum is not here, but making his long-awaited Red Tinted Glasses debut, mainly because he pestered me every week to come on, welcome to the show, Jay Moyer. Jay, how's it going?
I'm good, thank you, Glenn. Thanks very much for having us.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to chat all things Aberdeen with you, even if I wish they were of a more positive variety in this case. We are, on this episode, going to look back over the devastating 2-1 defeat in Paisley, what that means for the rest of our league season. Dave Cormack broke his cover at the weekend as well. We'll discuss the chairman's tweet and our reaction to that, and look ahead to what I called on STV News last night, a season-defining Scottish Cup quarter-final this weekend at Pittodrie, Saturday lunchtime kickoff. But Jay, we'll start with events in Paisley. I know, unfortunately, or fortunately, I know you felt you didn't quite make it all the way after having a tyre blowout quite close to Paisley. But the Dons did make 4 changes to the starting lineup from the midweek defeat to St Johnstone. Nicky Devlin, Duke, Killian Phillips and Junior Hoylett coming in from the start, replacing Jack Milne, Johnny Hayes, Leighton Clarkson and Jamie McGrath, those that missed out. What was your thoughts driving towards the game before obviously your trouble happened, and seeing that lineup? Were you excited to see kind of some of the changes that had been made?
I think obviously you're interested to see what Hoylett brings. Maybe a bit of experience, a bit of pace up front, although he is getting older now. And I also think the likes of Phillips, maybe just trying to bring a bit of height into the team. You know, you look at the likes of Clarkson, who's not the biggest player, and I think that's what we're really lacking at the minute. You know, you look at Barron and Shinney, they're all quite small players. So I think maybe Phillips was a bit of height, but you could argue, you know, dropping Jack Milne was a bit... questionable, because he's a big guy and he can put a good ball in the box. But again, I think Warnock's just trying to suss out his best side. And I think right now it's a really risky time to be doing that. But that's what we are at the minute. We just seem to be experimenting every game. It is a bit of a tombola, and you don't know what you're going to get from one game to the next.
Yeah, we've found Jimmy Calderwood's tumble and well and truly dusted it off. And I don't know if he's tuning into the episode live or not. I'm sure he'll be catching up. But Graham McWilliam commented on the last episode about what you've just picked up on there, Jay, and the kind of experimenting with formations and players. And, you know, we picked up on the last show that, you know, we were quite small in comparison to St Johnstone, but as you say, kind of Milne for Phillips is like for like in the height department. What I did like about the starting lineup and what we then saw from the kind of start to the game was the kind of width and directness that both Junior Hoylett and Duke gave us, because that's definitely something we've been lacking. But yeah, it's kind of the risk and issue we've had so far is it's not the time of season where we can be experimenting. But I just wonder, you know, based on kind of how the first hour certainly went, if Neil Warnock might be tempted to stick with that starting 11 again going into the weekend's game.
Well, you know, he said in his post-match that he was fairly pleased with a lot of the performance, and he felt quite hard done by. So I think, as you say, I wouldn't be surprised if he kept that team, because you saw the likes of Duke setting up, well, more or less setting up the first goal. Hoylett's obviously gives you that bit of pace, that bit of, you know, creativity, the final third, which, as you say, we've been lacking all season. You know, it's been very narrow and side to side, whereas now that we've got players that, you know, can actually run at the defence in the final third, I wouldn't be surprised to see Warnock stick with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we saw kind of Junior Hoylett, especially in the first half, we've seen in his fleeting appearances so far the delivery and quality he possesses from that. So that was good to see on a more regular basis than kind of rather when we were chasing the game. And it, as you say,
yeah,
kind of going back to the old Duke that we've kind of become used to last season with that directness in the first half, especially gave Scott Tanzer, the St Mirren left back, all sorts of problems. And as you said, kind of, I'm sure what we'll be wanting to claim the assist for the opener, even though he can't really. But on the opener, Conor Barron, a player discussed, you know, feels like all the time on podcasts, and certainly I'm sure in pubs pre-match and post-match as well, about where his future lies. But for me, I'm still going to maintain we can't question his commitment to the cause right now. And what a goal, what a way to get off the mark for the season.
Oh, potentially one of the goals of the season, maybe not the goal, but a wonderful strike, probably up there with Miofsky's disallowed one at Tynecastle. Maybe that was on another level, I don't know, but as you say, certainly a good strike. And as you say, you can't question his commitment. You know, I know he's not signed a new deal, but, you know, and I'm not trying to show off, but maybe knowing him on a bit of a personal level, he's a really nice lad, and I know that he cares about the club. And I think, obviously, you know, with the way we've been playing this season, everybody's going to be coming under a bit of stick. But certainly for me, Connor's a great player, and I just can only hope that he stays. Because for me, he is a quality, and he's only 21, you know, 21, 22. So people need to remember that he's got years ahead of him.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think as well that, you know, as I mentioned a lot of times about the fact that he's Scotland under 21 captain as well. And looking at, I was quite fortunate that I finally got my stream to work just as the ball hit the back of the net. So I'm glad I got to catch that pretty much as it happened, even if I think it was maybe the first replay. But, you know, it was a decent start from what we've been used to. I think, you know, taking the lead is not something we've been accustomed to under Neil Warnock, especially Bonnie Rigrove's game aside. And it gave us something to hold on to. And again, I know that's going to be something that causes debate again amongst the support, because it kind of felt a little bit McInnesy, a little bit Robson January last season, where we just sat on 1-0 leads. Yeah. We had opportunities to double our advantage going into the second half. Bojan Miovski should have done better with a header. I'm pretty sure it was Junior Hoylett that swung in the cross. I think Bojan just up a bit too early and mistimes the header. But on the other hand, I know we rode our luck. Kel Roos pulling off a really good save to deny St Mirren, the ball kind of ricocheting off the post, and we scrambled the danger. And again, they skimmed the top of the crossbar as well. So again, I know if any St Mirren fans are tuning in, you know, I do agree with Neil Warnock where I felt we were comfortable, but I'm not under no illusion that they did cause us the odd problem. But I felt by and large up until, I know we're going to come on to it, injury time, St Mirren kind of didn't look like scoring aside from those two opportunities that I mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult because obviously listening on the radio and open all mics, you only get little snippets here and there.
Yeah.
But it certainly did sound like we were in control of the game. I don't know if we were creating chance after chance. I think Willie Miller described it as quite a 50-50 game. It was end-to-end. But I suppose, you go on about sitting behind the ball, I suppose at this point in the season, the players will be so desperate for a win, but they'll also be really, not scared, but quite nervous and cautious, and they'll just want to do anything they can to hold on to a win. So maybe instead of thinking about going forward, they'll be like, right, we're winning, let's just get behind the ball, even though you want to see us, you know, go forward and go forward and go forward.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because it was just a way to kind of make that point as well. I wonder how much, in terms of a mentality from players and management, was it to kind of protect that what should have been a morale-boosting win, a positive result, even if it had ended up being a draw, despite the efforts in the 90 minutes prior, to kind of build on looking towards this weekend. However, we sit here on Tuesday night speaking about yet another defeat, and there's obviously some kind of negative connotations that we're going to have to cover as well. And I guess that's, you know, what you mentioned there about mindset is probably something we don't kind of really think of as fans. We just see what's happened, see the reaction, and fuck's sake, you know, come the winner, or, you know, for St Mirren and at full time, it's Warnock out, Cormac out, whoever the fuck else out. You know, it's that immediate reaction from us as fans at the disappointment at losing. But in the build-up, as you say, you know, players, their mindset's probably like, we're a bit fragile, we've not won in a while, let's try and protect what we've got and get the fans back on side.
Exactly. I mean, regardless of performance, by full-time, you're thinking the same thing. You know, yet another defeat. And the way it's happened, you dread to think how the players must be feeling now. If they weren't already down before, they'll definitely be down now. Because as I said on Twitter, that's, you know, shades of the Rangers game when Arfield scored that, you know, in the last 97th minute or something. So you just
even Pauk as well for this season as well.
It's a common trend at Aberdeen these days, and it's obviously not a good one to have. God knows how they're feeling like.
Yeah,
you know, they must be really at rock bottom now.
I will agree with you on that one as well. There's a comment from Skokesker that came in about taking Junior Hoylett off and changing formation. He said those sort of tactics were the ones that, you know, ultimately saw the end of Barry Robson. And look, for me, I came out on the RTG Twitter account and said Saturday for me was not on Neil Warnock, it is purely on the players. But fans will rightly look towards the manager's tactics and question his decision on the hour mark to take off Duke and Junior Hoylett, players that were giving us out ball, causing degrees of creativity, is without maybe being clinical and trying to get that what would have been pivotal second goal. Can you see, Jay, why fans look to Neil Warnock for that bit of blame? Because ultimately he did make tweaks that played a part in us losing the game.
I know, but, you know, of course Warnock is the manager and you can see why folk are angry. But, you know, I guess he's in that mindset of how he is as a manager. He's not thinking attack, attack, attack. He's thinking let's hold on to what we've got here, regardless of how negative that may seem. I think everybody knows before he came in, he wasn't going to play this free-flowing football. You know, he's a defensive-minded manager, and that's obviously what he's thinking. Right, we're winning. Let's just, you know, shut up shop. But definitely, you know, myself, you know, I want to see Aberdeen go for goal after goal, but obviously that Neil Warnock is in the mindset of let's just get 3 points.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, you're already kind of coming, making your way back up the road as the game nears towards its natural conclusion. You're probably thinking, I've come pretty much all the way to Glasgow and I've missed, you know, Neil Warnock's first league victory of the season. And, you know, Nicky Devlin and the SFA have other ideas. Obviously, as you said, weren't at the game, but I'm sure you've had plenty of chance to see the incident back via either Sports Scene or the videos doing the rounds on Twitter. initial real-time watching, what was your thoughts on the penalty incident?
I think it's one of those that in modern day, you know, any sort of contact in the box is you know, a penalty more or less, as silly as it is. I think the St Mirren boys have been quite clever and got in front of a Devlin and just sort of waited for the contact and put himself on the deck. And, you know, I guess from a referee, and I'm only guessing from a refereeing point of view, the St Mirren boys got to the ball first. Devlin's made contact and he's the boy's gone down, so it's a penalty, as soft as it may be. But again, is it necessary for Devlin to be so frantic? And I guess it goes back to that nerves thing of just being so on edge and desperate to just do his job that he maybe overdoes it and thinks, oh no, I've made contact here.
I want to pick up on two things you've said there. Because I'll agree with you on the point about the St Mirren player being clever. I do agree on that. I think he was clever in getting his body across Nicky Devlin. Mm-hmm. David McLennan here in the comments saying it was never a penalty. I don't know. I disagree, to be honest. I think it is a penalty. I think had that been up the other end, we'd both be sitting here raging if it wasn't given to an Aberdeen perspective. But the point I wanted to pick up on was you kind of mentioning, does Nicky Devlin need to be so frantic? I thought the complete opposite, Jay. It really fucking frustrates me, the brain farts that Nicky Devlin seems to go through.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Nicky Devlin was dropped for the midweek game against St Johnstone. Whether or not this kind of had an impact on his overall performance at the weekend, because for me, him being dropped in midweek came as a real surprise, given he was one of the players put in front of the media for the pre-match press conference. So, you know, I was clearly reading a lot more than I should have into the fact that he was doing that. And, you know, he kind of came across as saying he wanted to identify as being one of the leaders. But Nicky Devlin was making simple mistake after simple mistake in that second half. Kind of one incident that sticks out was he was away to try and kind of clear the ball inside our own half, kind of looked, took his eye off the ball and accidentally took an extra heavy touch and it went out for a St Mirren throw. And I couldn't help but think at the time, I was like, Nicky Devlin's got a mistake in here that's going to cost us at this rate. And I don't think he was frantic enough, Jay. Yeah. He was lazy getting out to that ball. He was jogging out to the ball. Olisanya was quick. He was alert. He wanted that ball more than Nicky Devlin. Nicky Devlin only wanted that ball when he fucking realized how quick Olisanya was and that he was probably not getting there first.
Yeah.
But to go back to your other point, Olisanya then became clever, got his body in front of Nicky Devlin before Nicky could shield the ball, and we end up conceding the penalty. And, you know, Paul Donaldson saying it wasn't a clear and obvious error for the referee to give a free kick outside the box. VAR re-refereeing matches once again. On that, though, I think the reason why it's been re-refereed, to kind of quote what Paul said there, was because he gave the free kick outside the box. And I think because the initial contact was inside the box, that was why it was looked at. My only kind of interest in the whole VAR situation around the penalty would have been, what happens if Nick Walsh gave that as a free kick to Aberdeen? Then what would have happened? Would there been the VAR interest in the decision reversed or not? Would the benefit of the doubt as such have been given to the defending team, given it was kind of a 50-50, as some people say? But you then look at what happens at Tynecastle on Sunday with Yang getting caught up with Alex Cochran, a lot less contact compared to Nicky Devlin and Olisanya, but kind of a similar incident. And again, a penalty was awarded in that situation. But for me, had Nicky just burst the gut to get the ball and just hoofed it towards Glasgow Airport, or in any fucking direction, we probably wouldn't be sitting here speaking about a defeat, or we probably wouldn't be speaking about him once again switching off and costing us a goal like he did against Hibs.
Well, you know, Devlin's been one that, you know, since the start of the season, fans have been really fond of. But certainly, as you say, the last couple of months, maybe a couple's a bit harsh, but month or so, that he's been one that's maybe struggling with this pressure of, you know, playing for Aberdeen and being under the cosh, really. But then again, you'd think he'd be used to it at Livingston, because you'd imagine that that's how they played every week, was, you know, sitting in and being used to defending. But again, as you say, on the penalty, I mean, we're speaking about this every week throughout Scottish football. You know, contact, is it harsh, is it not? I just think it's so difficult to know what is a penalty and what's not a penalty now. You know, the referee had a decision to make, and as I think his name was Paul, says, you know, VAR basically referees the game now. And I guess it's just how they interpret things, and yeah, it's so difficult to know what the rules are, because nothing's really in black and white now. It's all down to how referees are perceiving things.
And I think, you know, the musical box makes a good comment here on screen, saying had Nicky Devlin not even challenged at all in that situation, there wouldn't have been a problem. Because, again, it's an instance where we're making a silly foul when the player and ball are going away from goal. Olesanya would have needed to control that. He's not going to do it on a penny and be able to remain in the box. He was going away from goal. You know, let him run away from goal, get the defence set, although, fucking hell, we've seen how that happened like 90 seconds later.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he made the challenge. But another thing I saw as well is I think it was that Nicky Devlin's played over 40 games, or he's certainly up there with playing the most games for Aberdeen this season, and already at this stage of the season has played more games this season than he did last season for Livingston. I guess Jay once again highlights our lack of depth, lack of competition in the right back area. You know, we signed Ordadia. Only saw him against Fraserburgh. Jaden Richardson's been punted on loan to Stockport. Didn't work out for there. He's now at Colchester. We tried Shaden Morris. Fucking hell, try and forget about that. Ryan Duncan, I have a funny feeling, was also exploited in the right wing back role as well.
Yeah.
We have no significant competition in that area. We had the whole of January to try and provide some backup. We failed to do so. So in that sort of area, question marks are rightly going to now be asked on the recruitment side.
Yeah.
I guess some people will probably ask, why did Ordadia not even get a chance to prove what he was worth?
Yeah.
But, you know, tiredness, mental fatigue, nerves, they're all going to play a part for a player not used to be playing this sort of minutes like he was last season at Livingston.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of questions to be asked this season, if we're honest. The recruitment, you know, for every sort of, I mean, obviously, there has been a Dadia or a Williams. You know, players that when you sign them on paper, you think, oh, this is good, like, and then all of a sudden, you just never see them, and you think, you know, what's going on with that? But again, it's one of those things that we sign these players, and okay, that apparently I was at the Fraserburgh game, but apparently a few players were really bad, but, you know, I don't think we should be judging players based off a game with Fraserburgh, because, in my opinion, you know, are they really going to be caring about that game? Are they going to be giving it their all? For them, it's probably just getting out on the pitch, you know. And you know, I'm sure, I know it's a different position, but I'm sure a lot of people, when Sam Cosgrove first signed, would have said, "Oh, you know, who's this boy? He's rubbish." And eventually, he, you know, goes on to, might be a bit rubbish now, I don't know. But for us, once he came into a game, excuse me, he was good. So I think we just need to be, you know, let players get a chance. I mean, especially now, you would take a right back in Ordadia that's played for, I think it was Israel, was it international? And if an Israeli international kind of played for Aberdeen, then, you know, surely he's not that bad, you know.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know another Hernandez type signing.
I guess it was, you know, a lot of talk about whether Robson really wanted him here or not. And I don't know. We'll never know the real ins and outs unless he wants to come on the podcast and tell us about what it was like living in Aberdeen and not playing for the club.
Yeah.
But look, without kind of inserting too many footballing cliches and sounding like managers, if you're not going to win a game, and you know, you get to the situation as we found ourselves in 1-1 with 90 seconds to play, don't fucking lose the game. But can Aberdeen hold my beer? And Paul, I'm so, so glad you've said this. Paul Donaldson saying, it's a total mystery to me why we spent most of the 90 minutes trying to hold on to a 1-0 lead. They equalise and then we try and push forward instead of trying to protect the 1-1 and at least get a draw. As I said about 10 minutes ago, you know, get that draw, even if we should have been winning that game at the weekend, take the point. It would have kept faint hopes of a top six finish alive. For me, they're all but dead and buried now on the back of that defeat and Hibs picking up a win at the weekend. I honestly, the players, honestly, I can't even emphasize how angry this kind of makes me feel and how frustrated I am by the lack of basic game awareness from the team. You know, we just pump the ball up like we do from most of our kickoffs, where it's one pass back, kind of like a rugby, just hoof towards the touchline and hope for the best. And Nicky Devlin, I don't know, you know, if he was trying to make amends, again, kind of, as Paul says, pushing towards trying to get that winner out of nowhere, takes a quick throw into Bojan Miovski, who, if you watch the second goal back, and if you want to really torture yourself like that, actually doesn't look like he wants the ball. I'm pretty sure he points to whoever the player was in front, saying, you know, pass to him instead. Bojan doesn't get the ball under control. Two passes later, St Mirren are 4-on-3. We're defensively all over the fucking shop. And that's before we even talk about the ball getting into the box. Richard Jensen, fuck me. Stop the cross coming into the box, or at least fucking try to stop getting the ball into the box. The ball then comes into the box, and Nicky Devlin, who of course pretty much started this St Mirren counter-attack, fails to pick up the man at the back post who's peeled off of him. Angus McDonald. Oh my God.
You decide, I think I've seen somebody on Twitter saying he's decided he's going for a Saturday stroll. And
I'd honestly, you know, Angus, I mean, he's, for me, he's a good defender. He should be a reliable defender, but he's not going to want to see that ball back. We don't even put a fucking man on the post for a corner. Why the fuck are you going into the post for a header back across the goal? And the other thing is, had he stayed with Olasanya or kind of doing the job he should have been, Olasanya's offside. We're not even speaking about losing the game again. For me,
he's maybe just wanting to play the hero and you know, oh, I cleared it off the line. I don't know, but surely you'd stick with your man, because you'd bet on Angus beating Olasanya to a ball in the air. Or however, you know, I know it eventually landed at his feet, but you know, you'd imagine that Angus would be able to hold them off and defend. Why he thinks it's a good idea, as the comment says there, he's rusty, he's not played, but you know, a ball into the box is basic of defending, surely. It's not the most quality ball either. It was a knockdown. But surely, you know, although he's not played, surely you can clear that, or at least attempt to block it, or just stay with your man. Do you know what I mean?
But I, you know, look on that comment about, you know, Angus being rusty, expected more from him. I think, you know, I do expect more from him, even though he is rusty, lack of minutes. It's that, you know, basic game awareness. David McLennan saying a total absence of tactical awareness. It's just basic game management just went totally out the window in that situation. You know, for me, Stefan Gartman, could he maybe do better in that situation? He kind of just watches the ball go past him. Probably harsh, because he probably doesn't want to stick a leg out and, you know, divert it into the roof of the net. I saw a few question marks I think the slow-mo kind of on Sports Scene prompted that from me around, could Kel Roos come off his line? Because heaven forbid he ever does that.
On Twitter,
But I would agree with you there, Jay. But again, that's probably from the slow-mo real time. Again, before the cross, you know, he's standing within his 6-yard box. Mm. And as soon as the ball looks to whip in, fucking hell, he's like Angus McDonald and can't get to the line quick enough. Again, if Kel Roos stands where he was before the ball comes in, he's in a position, he's allowed to use his hands in the box. He hates catching the ball, but you know, he could be there, punch it, get up, get in the way.
But no, that was my point.
Retreat allows it to be easy for St Mirren. St Mirren got an easy ball into the box, easy knockdown, and well, you know, it's a good finish, but it's an easy opportunity to tap the ball into the net. He puts it high into the roof of the net in the end, but it's another fucking easy goal we've conceded under Neil Warnock. And in a game where I actually thought we weren't going to concede two goals under Neil Warnock, we somehow fucking contrived to do so.
Yeah.
And well, you can pinpoint individual errors to that goal, but from pretty much our entire backline, it's a fucking mess.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly as well. I guess it's one of those things that the team probably think they're doing good, because if they win the ball from the equaliser, they go up and score, everyone's going, oh, brilliant, you know, last minute winner, da da da. And then it's a case of, oh no, they've lost it, and St Mirren have gone up and scored because they've not done their jobs defensively. Mm-hmm. Again, I think it just sums up the team just now. I just don't think they've got belief or confidence in anything they do. I think everything that could go wrong is going wrong. They don't know whether to attack or defend. You know, as I just said, you know, if we win that ball from the equaliser and go up and score, and everyone's going, oh, brilliant. Mm-hmm. But they've tried it, they've lost it, and St Mirren have scored, and it just, kind of like, you know, fuck's sake. But they kind of win just now, really, both, you know.
Literally.
Pardon the pun, no matter what they tried to do. And it's just awful. I mean, I've never been so... I've made the point a couple of times that people think I'm like, crazy, but, like, even under, like, a Stephen Glass and, dare I say, Goodwin, I know the Darvel thing, but I always felt as though we had players that apart from the latter end of Goodwin's reign, I always felt that we had the likes of Duke and Clarks and Miovski. Mm-hmm. But even now, Miovski doesn't seem to be getting that much service. He stopped scoring for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just look at the team and I just don't see us beating anyone. You know, even if we were to be playing fucking, with all due respect, like Park Thistle or something at the weekend, I'd be thinking, oh, fuck's sake. Do you know what I mean?
No, totally. And I think that's, you know, I don't really want to kind of speak about the kind of relegation playoff, but, you know, West Coast Don says when everything keeps going wrong, you end up relegated. I think I mentioned that, you know, in the last episode after the St Johnstone game when we, you know, kept missing chance after chance at 1-0, thinking, you know, fuck's sake, it's not going to be our night. And is it going to be one of those things where, we're, you know, speaking potentially in a few weeks, month time about being in 11th, you know, standing free since 1903, saying never felt so scared of getting relegated. And look, I'm not going to say it because someone's going to sound, you know, clip it up and it's going to come back to bite me. So I'll quote Skokesker instead. We're not going to get relegated. I do think that, you know, the fixtures that both ourselves and Ross County have, certainly getting up to the split, especially, you know, we've got to play Ross County again, should be enough. Fucking surely to fuck. There is enough about this squad, enough about this fan base to carry this fucking squad over the line, you know, because right now, you know, as we're going to obviously come on to speak about the kind of cup quarter final and the ticket sales, but right now the players and this team need our support more than ever, as much as some of them don't fucking deserve it. We need to, you know, at the end of the day, players come and go, managers come and go, yada yada yada, football cliche here and there, but this is our football club, this is our team, and we'll be there no matter what division we're in, no matter how shit things get, no matter how good things get. Yeah. So it's up to us to drag this team over the fucking line and stay safe, and, you know, avoid that 11th place finish that, you know, some of us are fearing. I agree with Willie Miller, who said it a couple of times on Sportsound, thank fuck for Livingston this season. Because, you know, with them being so far adrift, it does give us that even more breathing room from an even more deadly thought.
Well, exactly that. I mean, I've been saying to folk at work all week that, when I've seen them, that, you know, I think the only thing that will keep Aberdeen safe is the likes of Livingston and Ross County being so poor. It just totally baffles me how, you know, without sounding arrogant, a club the size of Aberdeen can be in such a predicament, because, you know, we used to argue, we used to moan that we've got no money to spend, and you know, it's all freebies and loans we're taking in. You know, we're now at a stage where we're spending money on players. You know, okay, it's not the biggest fees in the world, but we're spending money, a lot more money than the majority of the teams in the league. And there just seems to be like a severe lack of cohesion. And the players that we do sign for big money are the players we end up putting out on loan. And it's just like, what is going on with this recruitment? Like, do you know what I mean? It's there's so many questions to be asked, and it really is a mess.
It really is.
Whether the club are taking shortcuts by promoting from within and promoting people that to do a job that, in my opinion, they shouldn't be doing. I understand you kind of keep spending money and getting the best of the best in the staff room and all that, but we're in such a mess. And some of the players we're signing, you look at the like of Morris and up to now, you know, Pappy Gay and all that, like, you know, these are, what is that, like half a million supposed to be, just under £1 million altogether for that too. I mean, honestly, I mean, okay, maybe Pappy will come back and be half decent, but it's just... Well,
I noticed he scored for... both him and Vinny both scored this weekend for their respective loan clubs as well.
I tweeted about that, and somebody said it looks like Pappy is playing for some junior team. And it does be the photo. Looks like he's playing at the back of Asda or something.
Well, I asked the Garthy, and I think, the thing is, though, is that I think they're still in pre-season. I think, quite ironic, their league season gets underway on April Fools, I think, is their first league game for Pap in Norway. But look, you know, it's certainly, whether you think we're going to be safe, whether you think we're in danger of finishing 11th, it is certainly splitting opinions. You know, Graham Finlater here in the comments saying, can't see us getting out of this. We've already lost at home to Saints, and the unthinkable results are happening. Every club doing its best to relegate us slipped, walked into playoffs. You know, you know, again, I think someone commented on the last episode about drawing the similarities to us and Hibs in 2014 under Terry Butcher as well. I still agree that that match coming up at the end of March against Ross County at Pittodrie is going to be absolutely huge. I also think what will be important is the games coming up, next midweek, I think, after the kind of games in hand where we travel to Dundee and Ross County are at home to Hibs on the same night. Right. Because if we fail to, you know, if Ross County better the result that we've got that day, then, you know, things, that game at the end of the month becomes even bigger. Yeah. I think we need to kind of keep Ross County within about 4 or 5 points of us going into the split for me to begin to look to feel safe. But I'd really ideally want that about 7 points to really feel comfortable.
I mean, we shouldn't even, you know, I know teams have bad seasons, but we shouldn't even be having this conversation.
I was going to say, how fucking grim is it having this conversation?
Aberdeen Football Club, and I'm not trying to be big-headed, but the fact that we are speaking about, oh, we better hope Ross County don't win, you know, how terrible is that?
As I said, you know, it backs up the point where I said, you know, at work, that I was glad that St Mirren equalised in the 85th minute, because, you know, it's given us that little bit of, you know, extra breathing room as well. We're all still forgetting St Johnston as well, since gone above us at the weekend, but that bottom six is still so incredibly tight. But other teams are picking up results in comparison to us just now. Now, you know, for the last few episodes, I've been critical of the club and Dave Cormack in particular about how quiet they've been since this bad run of form has started. Now, Dave Cormack broke cover and, of course, hid behind his Twitter account. For those of you not on social media, because I know there are a few that tune into this podcast that are not on social media, but may have seen the WhatsApps and the tweets, or the tweet being shared on various WhatsApp and messaging platforms. But for those living under a rock since Saturday, Cormack tweeted, "Dons fans, Alan Burrows and I totally get your frustration. That was sickening to watch at the end in injury time today. The criticism that we are only on here when things are going well is fair, but that's mainly because we cannot answer questions about our employees, like players and coaches, or discuss details, detailed concerns which could impact more morale." Funny, because I think this tweet could quite easily impact morale. "Contrasting our play in Europe, only 10 weeks ago beating Eintracht Frankfurt," reminder that was a dead rubber, Dave, "and reaching the Scottish League Cup final. Our league form with the same squad has been awful and baffling. The support and backing, including today, with 1,000 singing from start to finish, has been brilliant. We too kick every ball and go through all the emotional highs and lows watching the team. We know it's hard going right now, but I can assure you we don't do walking away, and we'll get this right." Because what other tweet is suitable from a chairman without a wee dig at Rangers there? Now, look, I know I said I wanted Cormack to come out and say something, and that might appease sections of the support, but to me, that tweet made me even more angry on Saturday night. So yes, raging when he's quiet, raging when he says something. I'm never happy.
Yeah, I mean, picking up on that comment, I think regardless of what he says, you're going to be annoyed, are you?
I think obviously given the nature of the defeat on Saturday as well, emotions are high.
I don't like this. I don't like that name in Frankfurt and the cup final. I mean, okay, it is a good achievement for Aberdeen to beat Frankfurt, but if we're being completely honest, were Frankfurt really giving a fuck about that game?
It was a dead rubber in Europe. Yeah. It was effectively a Frankfurt B team. At the time, it was effectively an Aberdeen second string 11. Yeah. And to be honest, we should have been winning other games in Europe. Pauk, I've mentioned. Yeah. Haken, we should have never lost to Haken. Helsinki at home, I still think we should have beaten them at home and probably should have done them away as well. We were respectable in Europe, but I still feel we left plenty of points out there.
Yeah, I feel we really missed out on Europe. You know, I think a lot of people, because we were playing, because it was, you know, the group stages and it was a big spectacle, I think people were, you know, quite excited and stuff. But I think it papered over a lot of cracks, you know, because the game plan for almost every game was to sit behind the ball and not get beat and hit on the counter. And I think when we end up drawing games, especially away to Frankfurt, which of course was a brilliant performance, you know, folk were just like, we're a good team. Do you know what I mean? Because we're not winning the games, but we're not losing them. But I think even like domestically, even the first game of the season against Livingston was absolutely diabolical.
Yeah.
And I think there's been telltale signs all season that it's going wrong. I think one of the main problems is that they recruited for one system. Yeah. And when they discovered that system wasn't working, it was a bit like, oh, fuck, you know, what do we do now? And that's, you know, the comment here, raging when he's quiet and raging when he says something. Again, Cormack, for me, I like him. And I know we'll have a laugh and a joke. He puts his money in, or wherever the money comes from, he puts it in. But he needs to get this right. And as much as we don't want to talk about it, there's no guarantee that we are going
to be safe.
And if we do, you know, dare I say it, end up going down, you know, how do you, the whole club changes, because your idea about being competitive in Europe and signing all these young players completely changes when you're in the Championship. And also from a managerial point of view, how do you sell the club to, okay, we're Aberdeen, a big club, but, you know, we're in the Championship. You know, if we're really after a top, you know, obviously not world class, but a decent manager, he's not going to want to come and play in the Championship, you know?
No, totally. And I think, you know, that's all, you know, very, very fair points. And, you know, as Dave Murray says, you know, he was probably just trying to douse flames poorly. Or as David Stewart says, with petrol. He shouldn't have doused flames with petrol. And, you know, we've spoken about him referencing Frankfurt.
Yeah.
He references a cup final that we didn't even fucking turn up in. Like, getting to a cup final is not an achievement we should be proud of. Those of you that have been loyal listeners or loyal watchers of the show will know last season we referenced Johnny Main's comments about the club's statement about being proud of the performance in the semi-final defeat to Rangers. Just because we got to a semi-final shouldn't mean that we're proud to get there and proud of the performance. We shouldn't be proud of getting to a cup final if we don't fucking lay a glove on the eventual winners. Either, you know, nobody remembers the losers, even less so when you don't even, you know, turn up in a final. So, you know, the two games that he's chose to reference in that tweet for me are a bit cheap. And then, you know, chucking in a we don't do walking away to kind of get fans on side is that like a little bit of cringiness in there as well. But, you know, you speak about kind of Cormac, or you spoke about Cormac there, and, you know, the money that he's put in. And I think us as a club can't deny that right now we need that money from Dave Cormac. You know, we can't go back to Stuart Millen because we all know what's happened to him. But at the end of the day, Dave is a fan. He's a Beach End boy. He'll have, you know, do we need somebody, you know, a proper chairman in terms of running the club properly, and we don't just have yes men answering to Dave himself, and Dave finances the whole thing. You know, it's alleged that this whole restructuring thing has been completed. Let's be honest, we're not going to ever find out the full findings of it. I'm sure we'll find out a couple of things, but how much detail the fans are ever told, for me, will remain a mystery. But, you know, whatever your opinion on Dave is, he's not going anywhere, because the club quite probably literally can't afford him to go anywhere.
No. Again, you know, we know he's a fan, and when things are going well, he's quite, you know, he's quite funny, and everyone sort of laps it up. But, you know, this, for probably the first time in a number of seasons, despite how bad we've been in the last couple of seasons, especially around about January, the winter months, you know, this feels really, really serious. This, you know, everyone sort of said, oh, you know, we could go down the last couple of seasons when we've been poor, but this feels really real this time. And I genuinely feel like we're in a lot of danger. And again, I like Dave, but he needs to get this next appointment right. And the recruitment as well, it needs to be right, because we can't keep having this thing of spending money on players that we never see, and, you know, players getting frozen out for some reason. I know it's maybe not the fans' business of bus stops in the training ground or whatever, or obviously every manager is going to have their preference. But yeah, that comment, Andrew Case, I agree there. You know, I think he doesn't really know how to run a football club. And I think for a few seasons now, we've been playing a bit of Football Manager, you know, signing all these players in, instead of maybe, you know, obviously under McInnes, it was always domestic signings, more or less. And I think, to be honest with you, it's great to have a Miovski and a Duke, a Ramadani, but maybe it's just a little bit too far-fetched now. And I think maybe you look around the league and, you know, would it hurt to sign the likes of that boy Phillips that played for St Johnstone? You know, he's always impressed me when he's played against us. Maybe not hard to do this season. And you look at the likes of Lyle Cameron for Dundee, and I understand that fans aren't going to be impressed with signings for St Johnstone and Dundee, but we signed the likes of Kenny McLean for St Mirren, you know? And it's, I guess it's just about getting it right. It's a balancing act, you know? Do you want to keep signing, you know, foreign boys that don't know the league, or should you just go you know, we'll look for the Miovskis and the Dukes, but, you know, let's go and get a player that we know will do well in Scotland.
Yeah, and I think you look back at the Dundee United team that got to the Scottish Cup final, where they picked up the likes of Margara Gomez from and some of their other players. They were all kind of lower leagues. There are kind of some quality players out there, but that point from Andrew Casey, for those obviously not watching, was that Cormac is the bank but needs someone with a football IQ supporting him. There are none in the famous FMB. And just a final few things on that, kind of relating to Dave Cormac, where Paul Donaldson saying, back in 2000 when we finished bottom, I don't remember the club talking about us reaching both cup finals that season, but I guess there was no social media back then. Graham Finlater saying, think it shows Cormac isn't a leader in the way that we need. He needs to let someone else run things as he's too emotional. I think that's a very valid point. We've very much seen how emotional Dave can get, because his leadership has led to where we are. It's all about him. And Scott McLennan also agree very much with Scott, where he says there's no circumstance where Dave Cormac will relinquish control. I think really all those points from those guys there are very valid and probably quite agreeable as well. But we could sit here and speak about the board and what needs done till the cows come home, and we won't get anywhere. So let's go back to speaking about footballing matters, Jay, because I was on STV News on Monday evening calling the weekend's fixture season-defining as the Dons look to book another trip to Hampden this season in the Scottish Cup. Is Saturday's game season-defining for you, Jay?
You can look at it in two ways, I guess. You know, is it season-defining in a sense of our last chance of success? Yeah, but then you could argue the remaining league games are season-defining, because if we don't win them, then we all know what could happen. So, as I say, you can look at it both ways. Of course, you want to get to the Scottish Cup in the semi-final and try and get a bit of silverware. But, yeah, I mean, it is season-defining in a sense of success. But then, you know, the other domestic games are also season-defining, because, as I just said, you know, we need to take care of business in the league.
Yeah, for me, I just kind of view it as that opportunity to get back to Hampden, an opportunity to give us something to play for between now and I think it's the end of April when the semi-finals are. And it just gives the fans that little bit of boost that we're so desperately crying out for. This fucking podcast is crying out for a bit of positivity. But also something for the players to motivate themselves towards, you know, getting to play at Hampden again. And it could then have that positive impact into those all-important league games, as you allude to, as well. And I guess it's just, you know, it's each to their own in terms of the opinion on this game. But, you know, with over 5,000 tickets still left for this weekend's game, is the appetite for the game, of course, live on BBC Scotland as well, is the appetite from the fans there for this game? And if we lose, and, you know, those that have commented tonight or are listening along to this show on catch-up, of the mindset that, well, we're not going to get relegated, you know, we're not going to be in the playoff because Ross County will never catch us. What is there to go and watch at Pittodrie for the rest of the season? What is there worth to go and spend my money on following Aberdeen? The attendances dwindle, the income doesn't keep coming. You know, the comment here was, you know, are supporters not confident of a win, or have they started to vote with their feet in protest at what's going on? A defeat could lead to more voting with their feet.
It is difficult, and I don't blame some fans, you know, for not wanting to go to the games. It is a thought, you know, because, you know, for me, football is always supposed to be an enjoyable thing, and you go and it's a release for a lot of people. Go and spend some time with your mates and socialise. But, you know, the club bang on about support and engagement and atmosphere. You know, the club playing the way they are, the team playing the way they are, it's really difficult to get up for a game, you know. And at the end of the day, people going about, oh, real supporters following their team and all that, it all costs money. You know, it's not free. And it's a lot of money for some people to go to the football. So, you know, I don't blame them. Obviously, it's a quarter final. And obviously, the diehards, if you like, will I'll still go to the game and hope that the club can pull themselves together and, like you say, give the fans something to come together for at the National Stadium and try and make it a memorable season by winning the Scottish Cup, which seems, you know, unlikely. But it's just one of those things is that I don't blame fans either way. And it, like I said, it all costs money. But as you said at the start of the show, we need to get behind the team and just hope that we can, and you know, motivate them over the line and just try and help them as much as we can, because especially after the weekend's result, they need all the help they can get after that confidence downer in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very good point, because I'm sure that the confidence will be fragile and on the floor after the last few minutes at Paisley, and they'll need that lift, and they'll need the fans to show that they are with them from the start at the weekend. We've seen Neil Warnock regularly make four changes to his starting lineup. Do you think we'll see another four changes going into this weekend? Do you think Neil might look to stick with, as I'm certainly hoping he does, the team that started the game against St Mirren? Mm-hmm. I have a funny feeling we could maybe see Phillips potentially drop out for Jamie McGrath, maybe the only change. Yeah. I can't help but feel, given the performance of the back line, we see a couple of changes defensively, but again, you speak about confidence and players' confidences. Mm-hmm. Dropping them so quickly, how much does that then knock on that confidence of players as well? You know, go back to the St Johnstone game and hooking Richard Jensen minutes after him conceding a penalty.
I think it's just the weekend is going to be a case of it's a, you know, the cup, it's a one-off game. Go with a team that the weekend that almost got a win, as silly as that sounds. Mm-hmm. We're minutes away from victory, so against a St Mirren side that are in really good form, especially at home, and they almost got the job done. So I guess that could maybe give them an ounce of confidence that they almost got themselves a win. I would go with the same team. I think, you know, Duke Hoyle on the wings, width, running at defenders, putting balls in the box for Bjorkowski, hopefully. A one-off game, and surely the players can pull themselves together, because, you know, there's the opportunity, like I said, of getting to Hampden and, you know, play on a big stage for some of the players if they want to try and put themselves in the window if they're wanting out.
And, you know, oddly enough, you know, the bookies have got us as marginal favourites for this game, which I find absolutely baffling, given the fact that we've yet to score against Kilmarnock this season, and, you know, really haven't kind of tested Kilmarnock anywhere near as much as we should have. Interesting from Andrew Casey saying that, you know, we need Phillips's size and physicality for Killie. McGrath and Clarkson will get bullied. Mm-hmm. West Coast Don saying pretty much the same. You know, we need height in the team. Even McInnes has spotted this, so he would have Phillips starting for his height and aggression in the team. I guess, you know, then if you're looking to take Angus McDonald out of the team, does Jack Milne come back into the team? I wonder if Jack McKenzie comes back into the team. I don't know where he's been from the weekend. Jimmy McGarry coming in. Interesting that Jimmy McGarry, when he came into the team on Saturday, played as a winger rather than left back. He came on to replace Junior Hoylett. Does Big Game Dante get into the starting lineup as well? Because we've seen what he's offered in big games this season. And again, another player that can certainly add a bit of height to this team. Not sure quite what levels of aggression we could see from him, but definitely adds height.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Killie fans might not like it, but as Warnock was sort of correct in saying that, you know, Killie will come and try to rough us up. They'll try and, you know, play ugly and bully us. So, you know, maybe the likes of Phillips and Povara, a bit of height in there. Maybe even sticking, like you say, Jack Milne in there with Angus, maybe as a pairing. And obviously Jack McKenzie's a strong lad as well, so maybe he comes back in. For me, he should be playing anyway. you know, it's so difficult to tell right now. Again, if he takes Angus out, folk will be saying, oh, how is he supposed to get up to speed if he's in and out, in and out, you know? So, again, it goes back to that thing of, I guess it shouldn't be, but I guess it, for Warnock, it's just a case of an experiment. It's probably not. I was watching another podcast this morning, and well, the Open Goal podcast, and the boy said, you know, should Warnock have done a bit more research before taking the job? Because the squad that we have aren't his type of players. You know, he'd probably have a big target man up top and basically a bunch of thugs playing. And we're a very nice, you know, tippy-tappy, good footballing team.
Well, so Warnock's come out and said that himself, that we're too nice, we're not aggressive enough. My other kind of concern around the changing of the back four, and if we do go down that, is it's another new back four in front of Kelleher-Roos. You know, I kind of look, as much as I'm critical of Kelleher-Roos, he's not getting the chance to sit in behind a settled back four, but also the back four probably are not very trustworthy of what their keeper's doing, because he doesn't have the confidence to hold a ball. He punches it, doesn't really ever come out for the ball at times as well. But he's also playing in behind different players and isn't sure what they're going to do as well. You know, I kind of felt a couple of times against St Johnstone when Stephen Gartman was leaving the ball.
Yeah.
Kelleher-Roos was expecting Stephen to deal with it. Stephen was expecting Kel to deal with it. So we're not getting that consistency and solidarity in the defence. And, you know, that's obviously attributing to the goals as well as them kind of switching off. But we can't just keep throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks, because it's not working just now. And for me, Saturday's a cup game. Anything can happen in the cup. Of course, no replays as well, so Saturday's game will be played to a conclusion, even if that means extra time and penalties, although I know a lot of you will be hoping it doesn't go that far, given Kelleher-Roos's record at saving penalties this season. But I just hope that, you know, we get that bit of luck. You know, Johnny Hayes speaking in his pre-match conference ahead of the weekend's game down in Paisley, saying that, you know, normally you get that little kind of new manager bounce for 4 or 5 games before results plateau. Maybe we're getting the shite out of the way and then getting that bounce towards the end of the season. Maybe just hoping we're getting that bit of luck. We got our final bit of bad luck out the way against St Mirren, and something good's finally going to happen. And I just hope for those of us that are in attendance at the weekend and are sticking with the team, or those that, you know, can't manage for whatever reason and are watching around the world or at home in Scotland, are rewarded with a Dons victory on Saturday, because it's about time we've got some positivity back. And it would be nice to have a semi-final to have on that back burner to look forward to, and then back to focusing on securing our Premiership status for next season.
Yeah, well, you'd like to think so. Surely for a one-off game, you just, you know, you know we've got good players. You know, they're a good side. I know it sounds stupid, but, you know, McGrath, Shinney, you know, Duke, Miowski, Clarkson, you know, when Devlin even, you know they're good players. It's just not going right for them, and I know it's frustrating, but you can just hope that, you can only but hope that they can pull themselves together for this one-off game. It's a big game, season-defining, as you say, and they win that and gives them a buzz, gives the fans a buzz, and maybe we can sort of just stutter to safety. that's all that matters now. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a pretty win or an own goal, a deflection, a penalty. You know, just win at this point, and that's all you can ask.
Yeah, and I think you could apply that to not just Saturday, but the kind of next 2 or 3 league games as well. Yeah. Just get what we need to, as you say, stutter over the line. But Jay, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, swapping the comments box for the co-host chair and making your RTG debut. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show and chat all things Aberdeen, even if they haven't been the most positive situation. But you've done a good job on your debut as well. I hope everybody's enjoyed the show. Remember to like the video, subscribe here on YouTube. We're closing in on 1903 subscribers. That'd be quite fitting to hit that as well. Follow us on audio as well. Until next time, see you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.